at Washington State University in conjunction with the U.S. State ARS, who my advisor is a wheat breeder for. And this talk will actually really complement the last talk, which focused on greenhouse, and then this is a field-based set of studies. So just as a review, AM fungi, which of course stands for arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, they belong to the Glomerulomycota, and that's about 200 or so species are thought to associate with about 80% of all vascular plants. They invade the root cortex and form an interface with living root cortical cells where nutrient exchange occurs, water, phosphorus, and micronutrients in exchange for carbon that the fungus needs to live. There's been documented roles with disease suppression, delivery of water and nutrients, protection from plant pathogens such as nematodes, just general growth stimulation. And there's interest in pursuing these plant mycorrhizal interactions for this growth stimulation, and also because of phosphorus uptake is reviewed in the last talk. And the reason for that is because there's cost to our phosphorus fertilization regimes. It's both monetary and environmental. There was a large spike in fertilizer costs that occurred in 2008. It's gone down a bit, but it seems that high input costs are here to stay. And then there's also environmental costs that leftover phosphorus fertilizer is just washing down our watersheds and causing eutrophication problems, as shown here in the Mississippi River Delta. And on top of all that, as said before, there's finite phosphorus resources. It's for all practical purposes a non-renewable resource, and that the easily mineable stocks are expected to be depleted in less than 100 years, thus making the price even greater. So I conducted field sites across the major wheat production zones in Washington. This is a rainfall map where this red area right here where Linden, that's about 9 inches of rain a year. And then as it gets more lighter in color, like up to Boyd Farm here, that's about 20 inches in rainfall per year. And a total of 6 site by year field sites. And most of these are farmer-owned land, except for Lynn, which is a WSU research station, and that's the only site I plots at about 2009, 2010. And what it was a split plot design where first treatment was phosphorus, based basically at native levels of phosphorus and high P, which is simply 20 pounds per acre. And then the seeds were inoculated with a commercial inoculant of mycorrhizal fungi. It consisted of 4 species. And that was applied to several spring wheat cultivars, Alpaua, Blanca Grande, Louise, Oz, and Walworth. And they were very diverse with respect to market class. They represent soft whites, hard reds, hard whites. Their response to drought, the region they were bred for, and as well as their response to pathogens. So there was every reason to believe that these would show differential responses to mycorrhizal inoculation. And just briefly, here's some results from Lynn in 2009. This was one of my driest, most stressful field sites. And this graph shows mycorrhizal colonization when it's not inoculated in the blue, and then yellow when it is inoculated. And inoculation did have a positive effect on percent colonization. It increased it. And of course, there are native levels of mycorrhizae in the soil. And this assay microscopy based and does not distinguish between species. And this is what it looks like. Here's a single arbuscule inside a cell, where this is where the nutrient exchange interface. And then across the root cortex, there's generally several arbuscules all linked together with hyphae. So I've evaluated several response variables, about a dozen listed there, from growth stage to height to test weight to yield to all sorts of nutrients in the leaf as well as the seed. And all together, they've been pretty successful field seasons in terms of nothing major went wrong. In this last year, Washington got Probably the worst striped rust infestation it's had in about 20 years. Striped rust is a major foliar fungal pathogen in the Pacific Northwest that's generally controlled with breeding and fungicides. And this picture here is just the soil at stem level. And this orange is striped rust spores have just absolutely colored the soil. That's how intense it was. One of my sites this year was organic as last year. Oh, I did forget to mention that. So my sites also represented conventional, no-till, and organic management strategies. And my organic site, I was not able to control striped rust with fungicides like I was at my others. Some of my cultivars were striped rust susceptible. And I was a bit worried about this, but it ended up showing some interesting results that I didn't anticipate. And the first thing that showed up when just doing standard ANOVAs was this inoculation by cultivar interaction was not quite significant at the 0.05 level of significance, but notable all the same. And that turned out this interaction was due to the cultivar Walworth. That's the only cultivar that's not from PNW elite germplasm. It's actually from the Northern Great Plains. It's completely susceptible to striped rust infection, as that's not a pathogen that they breed for. And when it was inoculated with mycorrhizal fungi, it had slightly lower levels of infection compared to when it was not inoculated. And these were different at that was the p-value. So looked a little further at striped rust, and the last graph shows striped rust infection during heading somewhat early in the season. This is striped rust infection during grain fill. This isn't the phosphorus by inoculation by cultivar p-value, 0.17, isn't, of course, particularly significant, but is notable in that it's more improbable than other sources of variation for this. So in the interest of controlling type 2 rate, I included this data in today's presentation. But what really showed up was the cultivar Louise. So the first two bars are high phosphorus, next two are low phosphorus, and then mycorrhizal non-mycorrhizal, and then the same over here. You know, it's a bit much to read that legend, I know. And Louise, in both their high and low phosphorus, actually had higher levels of severity of infection when it was inoculated. So the inoculum didn't actually help Louise's striped rust response at all. It made it worse. And that was the same for Walworth under high P conditions, but under low P, under the low phosphorus conditions. It again had that effect where it had slightly lower levels of infection when it was inoculated. And why that is unclear, but interesting all the same is these results were not anticipated at all. So how did that correlate to yield? Because that's really, you know, what everyone's thinking about. And Louise took a yield penalty, again, not a significant interaction, but notable on an improbable interaction, I'll call it. And overall, across all of the lines, there was a yield penalty due to inoculation. Walworth took a slight yield increase only under high P conditions, not under low P. And part of the theory is, well, mycorrhizae should help with these low phosphorus, low input situations, help deliver more nutrients. Unfortunately, that's not the case under these conditions, you know, with this particular inoculum, with these cultivars in this field site. Sometimes when you see these yield penalties, it's a result of perhaps some sort of growth promotion that resulted in more tillers being formed, but the plant has bit off more than they can chew. It forms more tillers, but it's not really able to deliver yield, and there's lower test weights. So in fact, more tillers ends up with being lower yield. And so I was looking at, well, did phosphorus increase the number of tillers? It did for Louise under the low P circumstance. And this is a circumstance in which Louise saw a large yield penalty. So perhaps the tillers are related to that. Walworth, while less so, did show that inoculation was associated with lower numbers of tillers. But again, this is under the high P, in which it took a slight yield penalty as well. And then just to look at that relationship a little closer between yield and I forgot to mention, of course, but it's obvious, the yields here are reported in kilograms per hectare, which was about equal to between 18 to 32 bushels per acre in this field site. But the relationship for Louise between yield and tillers certainly was a negative correlation with R squared of 0.3, with Walworth represented here in the red, not really much of an association whatsoever. So that sort of underscores that increased tillers result in fewer or in lower yield. And then quickly, I also looked at spadrines, which is an indicator of chloroform. Essentially, higher spad units meant there was a healthier, more photosynthesizing plant. And again, Louise under low P when it was inoculated had slightly lower spade units. It was photosynthesizing less, which may be the result of higher severity of striped rust infection. So getting back to the original question, which is the same question the previous speaker, are there cultivar differences for the ability of wheat to associate with mycorrhizal fungi? And I think the preliminary evidence is, well, yes, there is. Here we're seeing under low P that many of these respond very negatively, but under high P, Walworth had actually a very different response from the average and from all of the other cultivars. So perhaps indeed there are some genetic-based differences, or perhaps it's environmental. And then most interestingly was a bit of phosphorus responsiveness was observed. The boys side had very high P, about 30 ppm by the bicarbonate test, the bicarbonate assay. What's sufficient is about 15 ppm. So this is well into the sufficient range. But actually, pretty much all these differences were significant, except the, you know, when you see two data points right on top of one another. And Louise, interestingly, in addition to having a higher level of yield with low levels of phosphorus fertilizer or none, it was also able to respond to it. So this is sort of the classic breeder's desire, where not only was this cultivar highly highly efficient at its use of phosphorus, but it's also highly responsive. So in summary. These studies have shown mycorrhizal fungi, I think, would be beneficial and pathogenic, typical of any plant microbe interaction. There's a continuum there. There was a drop in yield that seemed to be connected to growth stimulation, more tillers, and perhaps just simply more area for striped rust infection. It's possible the cultivar Walworth may have traits or genes that are responsible for AM fungal responsiveness, and hence breeding for this enhanced interaction may be feasible. And at this very moment, it appears that there's existence of phosphorus efficient cultivars right now in Pacific Northwest elite germplasm, which makes the potential breeding for that not at all a difficult task compared to if it had to be introgressed from more foreign germplasm. So I just wanted to acknowledge really quick, quickly my graduate committee, my advisor, Kim Campbell, and also Scott Holbert, Bill Pan, and Candy and Jan Desgupta, as well as the lab and field crew, the growers who generously donated their land and time, and funding from the WSU BioAg program and the USDA's Organic Research and Extension Initiative. So thank you for your time. I think that it's there. I think the soils in the Pacific Northwest have a lot of phosphorus already, at least by soil tests, which we rely on the bicarbonate, but it's most of the soils are considered adequate.
Any other questions? Thank you. Okay.